I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Pray that the Lord would bless the thought. I'd like to start with Isaiah 55. No, I'll pick it up at 6. No, I'm sorry, 8. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, this is the Lord talking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think this is a very important thing for us to keep at the front of our minds as we live for the Lord and we look at the situations around us. It's easy for us to think that we know what's going on, or that we think things ought to be a certain way, or that I know God well enough to know that it has to be this way. I think that's kind of dangerous, to be honest with you. I think it can be destructive. The Lord said himself, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. I don't think that we have the capacity, and Lord help us, helps us to understand some things, but it's impossible. It would take God, I'll say that, it takes God to do things right. I remember one time how much it dawned on me that I was in different camp meetings, and I say we have a right to do this, so I'm not faulting anybody for it. But I had went around the world, around the congregations of the saints, and went to South Carolina, and they were saying, we need to pray for rain. It's dry, let's pray for rain. Come up here, and it had been raining, and people saying, let's pray the Lord and stop this rain. Went to another place and they said, but this, we need to pray that the Lord would warm the weather up. It's so that we can have this meeting and warm this weather up. And went on from there out west and they're saying, let's pray the Lord would send a cool spell during this meeting. I say this, you can have a guy build a pond around here and say, let's pray that the Lord would send rain to fill that pond up. And at the same time, some farmer is saying, Lord, please pray that the Lord would hold off the rain so I can get my grass in. I say we have the ability to, and the right to pray. But what we can't know and see is the things that's too big for us to see. You imagine how it would take the Lord for you to say, we say this, in my mind, the only thing that would make sense to me is that the Lord would heal me right now of this problem that I have. You have to realize that I'm not a rock. I'm not an island. You all are affected somewhat at least. I ain't making myself out important, but you all are affected somewhat by my life. I'm affected by your life. My wife's affected by my life. The people around me are affected by my wife. Whether I go to a meeting and preach is affected by how I'm doing. All of these things are affected. And what you are in your life may affect your children. You can go to the Lord and say, Lord, please save my husband. Please save my wife. Lord, have mercy on my children and save them. You know what you're asking for when you ask God stuff like that? Are you willing? Are you willing to be the one that the Lord uses in that situation? My thoughts, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I read a thing, I mentioned this here one time, I remember that, but I read a thing one time about Pebble Beach, California. And there was a place in California along the coast where there was all these stones, and it was right open to the direct force of the waves coming in and out continually, night and day, endlessly, storms endlessly coming. And people would come from all over the world and would take with them these beautiful polished stones. And right around the turn of the beach was an inlet that the same stones was there, the same forms was there, but it was blocked by the agitation, if you will, the abrasion, erosion of the waves and the storms. It was protected from that, and no one ever got any of the stones because they were rough. They weren't. But over here, there was these polished, rolled, beautiful, beautiful stones that was worth something to people. When they take them, they were beautiful, and they were valued. You know what I found out? I found out that I'm a poor judge. And I think especially when it comes to looking into one another's lives, we see the facade. We can see what's on the outside, but you don't know what's on the inside. When we make judgments of what the Lord should do or shouldn't do, we don't know what the inside of a person is. What would we prescribe for somebody's life? We don't know what it is. I was at Brother Dan Gallenbeck's one time, and Brother Dan was showing me his workshop and all, and he showed me this project he was doing, and he had put the first coat of clear coat on it. And I said, "Whoa, Brother Dan, that's beautiful." And he was like, "Oh no. Oh no, Brother Marty, I just put one coat on. This is going to get five coats. You wait till you see this after I've done five coats." And I said to Brother Dan, "I don't think you can put enough coats on there to make it different to me. I don't see what you see." "Oh, yeah, you'll see it," he said. "Oh, it'll... it's as shiny and as good as it needs to be." "Oh, no," he said. "No." He's a master. He's a master. He sees all of these things, and he said, "Oh, no, every coat adds something." And he's gonna put that clear coat, and it's going to dry, and then he's going to buff it. He's going to scratch it, and he's going to put another one, and another one is going to get deeper and fuller. And he's saying, you don't see it." And I said, "No, I don't see it." "Oh, you wait till you see this." This is what I'm saying. What seems to be something to us doesn't mean that that's the way the Lord's looking at it. The Lord's polishing us up. God does not have an ill intent to our lives. The things that the Lord allows to happen in our life, He's trying to polish us up. He's trying to make us better and better. And we might look and say, "Oh, they're polished. What's going on?" You don't know how polished someone is. You don't know what the rough edges is. It's possible it's possible to get it pretty good, but have areas that's not. The Lord's working on that. And there was times, I say in the scriptures the time, there was times to where the Lord, people didn't know what He was doing. Jesus come along and called the disciples and said, "Follow Me." Whatever it was that pricked them inside, they did. They followed the Lord. They dropped their occupations. This was a big deal. They dropped their occupations, everything there was, what they was doing. They dropped it and followed the Lord. But you know, they did not have the same mind that the Lord had. They couldn't see the picture the way the Lord saw the picture. He tried to tell them. I can read it to you. He tried to inform them. He tried to let them know what this was more about, but they couldn't get what it was more about. And he even told them that I'm going to go. I'm going to have to lay this body down. And Peter said, no, no. He couldn't see it. He didn't have the mind and the thought of the Lord. He didn't have the right mind. Many of the Jews of the time and the people that understood about the Lord, they thought the Messiah was going to come to conquer the Roman Empire. Jesus didn't come. I know we think this way sometimes. We have a right to pray about a bad neighbor. But don't get in your mind that the Lord's wanting to call fire down on the neighbor. We can get in our minds saying, well, if I was God, this is the way I would do it. They even come to him one time and said, you want us to call down fire from heaven? And he told him, you don't know what your spirit you're of. You're not thinking and seeing this for what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to save them. You might be a part of that work of salvation to them, but I'm trying to save them. And how disappointed the disciples must have been, because they didn't have the right thoughts about what the Lord was doing. Because they had given their lives to follow the Lord. They had completely given themselves, occupation, everything over to the Lord. And it is said, I don't think the scripture says this specifically, but it's assumed that Judas betrayed the Lord because he thought the Lord would do like he always done. He betrayed him because he thought he could get the silver. He was a thief. He thought he could get 30 pieces of silver and the Lord would dodge him. That's assumed. I realize it doesn't say that, but it's assumed that he thought that. There would be no reason for him not to thought that. Jesus was stepping aside of him all the way through, and all of a sudden he thinks, I'll get 30 pieces of silver, but now instead of Jesus stepping aside, now he's crucified. We followed him faithfully, and now he's crucified. He's left us. They didn't understand that. Let's go fishing. Let's go back fishing. What are we going to do now? Go back to what we know. It must have been so disappointing and all that, because they did not have the mind that the Lord had. They didn't see the full idea of it, that He was going to die for the whole world's sins. I think they understood better. But you know, I think it's valuable to keep it right at the forefront of our thinking, that God's ways are higher than my ways, and His thoughts than my thoughts. And as far as the heaven is above the earth, so is His ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. God knows what He's doing, and for us, it is a matter of, I'm going to trust the Lord in this matter to do what the Lord knows to do, because all the way through, people misunderstood what God was real. They thought of a certain human. They thought in a certain human way. There was a time where the Lord was at a place, and this woman came in. If I get the story right, she knelt down, and she was a woman of ill reputation, ill repute. They knew who she was, and she came down, and she. Do you know there's hardly no way that in my understanding of my mind that a good man ought to let that happen? It's the way we think. She let her hair, and she washed his feet and dried his feet with her hair. That was so wrong in the custom of the day. When they looked at that and saw that, they were disgusted by what he allowed to happen right there. Lord, help us that we not be dogmatic about it. Jesus knew that situation all the way through. And he done so. We don't have the right. We don't think the same way the Lord thinks. We don't do the same thing. We're taught by the Lord certain things, and we live to those certain things. But we have to realize God can work in things. We shouldn't have the attitude that God ain't working in somebody's life. Do you know that's a religious thing that people can get into? And if people ain't a certain way, God can't be working in their life. I'm going to tell you, God can work in people's lives. God can work in people's lives. We don't want to have the heart that we even entertain the idea that God... We ought to have the idea of God, please work in their hearts. Lord, please help them in their lives. They don't have to think the way I do to be able to come to you. Lord, bless them. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody that's totally disgusting out here, or somebody that we'll withdraw from out here in the world, don't you think that the Lord ain't going to talk to them and follow after them and work with them? It should be our heart that He does. Lord, bless them and help them in this. There was a time where they accused the Lord of going and talking. Looky here. People did. He's eating with sinners. I think some of them even said on the story with the woman that was there, he ain't no prophet. Because if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that was. No, he knew what kind of woman that was. He was interested in her life, in her blessings of his life. And he will go those kind of places. I know there's precautions in the flesh, but I want to tell you, the Lord's going to go there and deal with people. Thank God that He did, because He come and dealt with me. He was willing to deal with us in our life. I told you about the guy I met that was fraudulent. He's a fraudulent guy. It's where they steal people's Facebook pages and different things. And this guy had a job of sending you the stuff. He's the one that was sending the stuff to say, hey, you click on this. That's all his job was, pretty much click on this. Well, I talked to him the other day and saw he's on there, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I was hoping that things had changed, but he had said, I said, what are you doing? And he said, middle of the night for Nigeria. He said, I'm just here working the phones. I said, oh, brother, we need to get you a new occupation. And he said, well, I wish you would. Okay, he's a thief. He's fraudulent. So what now? I can't help from asking, what now? Do I quit talking with him? What's the best idea? Brother, God's got something better for you. I'm not going to condemn you. It's going to condemn itself. Brother, we need to help in this. We can pray for this. We can do something here. Maybe we can make a difference if we, I don't know. Maybe I can think in these kind of lines, because I don't know what God will do. I really don't. Maybe God worked it out. I don't know how many people is willing to try to help a thief or a fraudulent. But I can't help from thinking the things that happen in my life might be God. So when this guy, a human being, when this guy contacts me, I can't help from thinking that maybe God might be wanting me to help him in some way. It's hard to think in the things of the way God. I'm going to tell you what. I am convinced God wants to polish on that guy's life. I'm convinced God wants to make it right. I'm convinced that God wants to save him and polish him up and take him and be one of the crowns in his thorns. Jewels in his crown. I think God wants to work in all of our lives and make us one of those jewels that he can work with. But we don't know how the Lord might do it, what He's doing in our lives. And I'm thinking about the scripture where the children of Israel came up to the Jordan River with the expectation This is what God said. I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant. And in their minds, they had the mind of what God had told them. But they wasn't thinking like God. God saw a picture of the children of Israel going astray. He saw them going over there and being a complete disaster spiritually. He saw them going away from Him. He saw what He planned and wanted to do for them. He started way back in Egypt to try to teach them that those false gods were no gods and that He was the only God. And He tried to teach them to trust Him. He put one thing on them after another. He tried to get them to trust Him. And they come up to the Jordan River and God had a plan. I have prepared the way for you. I have taken you out of Egypt. I have allowed you to see my mighty power. You crossed the Red Sea as of on dry land. You saw the hand of God all the way. And now I brought you to this place and now lays before you the promise that I made for you. And the children of Israel did not think like God thought. God said to them, I'm going to give you the land. Go get it. They went and espied out the land, and when they come back, God promised to give it to them. They could get it. It was a promise that would be as true as anything. It would have come to pass as surely as God rules. He promised it to them. But He wanted them to have something. He wanted them to have a faith and confidence in God because they were going to need it all of their life. Listen, the things that God is trying to work now in our lives, there'll be one day where we'll lay down and we'll need every bit of it. God is trying to make this place to there, and He's saying, here is this, go get it. And no, I can't think that way. The Lord ain't trying to tell you that I'm going to give you the understandings of all this. You trust me, and I'll start shining you. It's going to take to polish those stones. One wave did not polish those stones. One storm didn't polish the stones. One place didn't make it. It was over and over, a continuation of years and of abrasions and of these things that happen in life. It took the sun beating down on it. Yeah, there's good times. The rain beating down on it. The waves hitting on it. That'll polish it up. The children of Israel came to that point, and when the spies come back, they was two men out of a dozen that could see beyond. I don't know if it was detailed. I don't believe that it was. I believe that they believed in God. They knew that the Lord had something for them. He had promised this for them. He was going to give it to them. If they stepped out by faith and went and reached for it, that they could have it. But the rest, I mean, if you remember the story, the rest of the children of Israel hope deferred maketh the heart sick. They had a hope. No doubt they were weary of travel. Probably had things in their life. Probably they was ready to go settle down in their place and anxious for those kind of things and all of that. And then the spies come back and said, there's giants over there. There's walled cities over there. All of it is a suggestion to us in type that I'm going to run into my limitations in this life. I'm going to run into things that's too big for me in my life. I'm going to hit mountains that's too big. I'm going to run into giants. I'm going to run into things in my own life that's too big. I'm not going to be able by any strength of mine or character of mine or anything that I can do is to overcome those things. And there's going to be discouragements, and there's going to be all those things, and what am I going to do? And they looked at that, and they wept all night long. They decided they wouldn't go, and they wept all night long, and you know, they didn't see the purpose of God, because His ways are higher than our ways. God looked down into their hearts and knew He... I think God would have given it to him just flat out if it had been the best thing for him. God isn't trying to do the things that's wrong for us. God knew that if he didn't make them fight for it, they wouldn't have wanted it. They wouldn't have appreciated it. You know, God knows exactly our lives and what we need in our lives. It seems like some people have smooth sailing a lot in life. And other people's are heartaches from get to go. From go to gone. It's all seems to be struggle and bad. And God knows exactly what we need in life. He doesn't think the way we do. I remember one time somebody saying, I just want to use this example. I ain't throwing off on anybody, but there was a minister one time at a Monarch camp meeting who made a comment. This was dealt with. The ministers actually talked about this. The minister that had spoke this, by the time I heard about it, it had been years ago. But the minister actually was preaching at Monarch, and he made a comment negatively in his message about the Baptist religion and about once saved, always saved. But he mentioned the Baptist faith particularly. And there was Baptist people had come to visit the meeting that night. And so they heard that, and there was a number of people that, and that's what the ministers was talking about in the ministers' meeting, whether a minister ought to do something like that or not, and there were some that condemned it. And the only thing I could think of is that, and I didn't say it, but the only thing I can think of it is, all right, who in here is full of the Holy Ghost enough to tell us exactly what God's going to do and what He's not going to do? We do have some odds against certain persuasions or beliefs, and that happened to be one of them we don't believe in, and if that being true, maybe God would say it too. I'm not saying what God will say and won't say. I'm saying I'm going to leave it to this point. I don't know. Because there was times where Jesus flat out said, you whited sepulchers, you're deceivers, you're murderers. He flat out told them that they were wrong. Will God directly rebuke us, reprove us? Don't be offended. There is a chance that God didn't do it. But no matter what is sent our way, the right attitude is, Lord, if there's anything in that for me, give it to me. If there's anything in that, I mean, I can go and some minister might get up and say, actually it happened one time. I was preaching one time and there was a guy there that afterwards his only comment, I thought the Lord really blessed, but the only comment that he made after that was a visitor that he didn't like the way I combed my hair. Now, we didn't make a joke about that, but that was absolutely what come back to me. He said he couldn't get past the way I had my hair combed, and I remember thinking, well, I didn't know anybody had a... I ain't got enough hair already combed now, but I don't know what... didn't know anybody had a problem with the way I combed my hair, or what was that? Was he listening to the message is what I thought. Well, maybe if he was listening to the message, he wouldn't have been paying attention to the way my hair was combed, or whatever it was. Those things are real, but... there's no reason for me to be offended about that. Maybe God hath said. You remember David? David was there and one of the descendants of Saul came and started cursing and ranting on him. He was king at the time. Ranting on him and doing all that. And David's man said, let me go take his head off. Draw his sword out. That's my mind anyway. Let me go cut his head off for not respecting the king. And David said, no. Perhaps God hath said, curse David. I don't know what God might be doing. Maybe I haven't been as pure in this thing with Saul's descendants as should be. Maybe I've got something in my life that isn't pleasing to God as it should be. This man's out there saying it. Maybe God's saying, curse David. I want to get David's attention. You go curse him for a while. Who is it that can say such things as that. I don't know how to say such things as that. You know, God can use evil people and evil-minded and wicked things to get to us sometimes. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. You say, this is God working in my life. Do you know that there was a man in the Bible who God testified and said, have you considered my servant Job an upright man? Loves good and hates evil. If you could set it to Satan, you consider him. And yet God allowed. You know, I've heard ridicule of those that don't believe the way we do. I mean, people that are gainsayers against the scriptures. I heard them use the story of Job as how unjust God is. Why would a just God, allow bad things to happen to one of his that he testified that was a good man? Well, I can tell you why. You don't think like God. And as far as heavens is above the earth, so is my thoughts higher than your thoughts and my ways than your ways. And God looked into that and the whole situation of Job, and he said of Job, Job has contact with people. I'm going to take liberty right here. But Job was an influential man. Nothing could happen to Job without people knowing it. God could have done that with somebody else and nobody would have knew it. But you couldn't do that with Job. It's going to get out through the land of the ones he dealt with, of his business associates, of all through the land. He was a great man in the land. And it was known. And God wanted to deal with Job's friends. You believe that? This story was about Job, but it was about a wife. It was about friends. It was about Job himself. God looked in at Job and said, here's a polished man. Said to the devil, Job's a polished man. He loves me. He sacrifices. He does the thing that's pleasing. I'm pleased with Job. But God also looked at Job and said, boy, there's some areas of Job's that needs polished up. You know, you can tarnish after you're polished. You can tarnish, need a little bit more buffing sometimes. God testified of Job for sure. But then when it got down to it, God says to Job, Job, you're whining and complaining. Where was you when I made the sea creatures? Job, if I was hungry, would I ask you something to eat? Job began to see something about it and realized there was areas in Job's life that wasn't as good as he thought they were. There was places in Job's life to where he wasn't polished up as much as he would. And at the end of it, he said, now have I saw the Lord. Now he could say, I come through as pure gold. Now there's gold here that was never here before. God did something that touched so many people around Job's world and Job's life because his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And when we look and we wonder sometimes, why is that happening? Why is this way? When you go out and you do something and you look and it's got the blessings of the Lord in it. You ever had that happen? To where you look, I mean, you know, I think about it sometimes. I like to plant gardens and those kind of stuff. And I'll go out to my garden sometimes, and the blessings of the Lord is on it. The deep, dark green tomato plants are just so live, and the fruit's coming on. And you look at that, and you say, surely, Lord, you've blessed me with this. Go away for a couple days and come back and the groundhog eat all the beans and the deer eat the peppers and the wind blew the corn down and the bugs got the cabbage and all that. And then now what? Is God less a God than he was a few days before with all those things? The things that happen in our life and we look around and say, no. God knows what he's doing. I prayed one time at home. The apples was in full bloom. pears, all this fruit was coming on, and I said, this is going to be one of the rare years you get, you know, you don't always get fruit around here, and this is going to be a good fruitful year, and heard the weather, and the weather forecast was like for Wednesday and Thursday, my memory, Thursday and Friday, I think was what it was, Thursday and Friday, it'd be Wednesday night through Thursday night through Friday, was the two chances of frost. I'm like, oh no. I literally prayed, Lord, it'd be so nice to have fruit. Could you spare it? So the first night, there was a little frost that happened, but it didn't kill anything. And I was like, the Lord did it. I was testifying. God blessed it. And I was so sure that the Lord was going to do it again. My faith was high. My faith was up. I said, the Lord did that. The next morning I got up, they was the biggest, heaviest frost. And I just was like sunk. It was like, I was so sure that the Lord, I am sure that the Lord did it. And you know, way before the sun ever come up, it was just starting to get light. I noticed that the vehicle started dripping. The frost started dripping. And I noticed that the frost started off. And I stepped out and there was a warm breeze blowing. And it blew that frost away and spared everything. But I sank. I sank with it a little bit. You know the places where the disciples was in his ship or those kind of places where the Lord said, oh, where yield little faith. But there was a little air there that it looked like a distraction. Why? Why did the Lord just not? I mean, in our minds, why isn't it always clear sailing? Why is all this stuff in there? Because there's teaching moments. There's teaching moments. That was a teaching moment. Don't give up on your faith because of what you see. You're right there at the time and you had faith and now you're right up and all that. Have faith in God. He wants us to have faith in God if all the fruit's destroyed. He wants us to have faith in God that it's right no matter what He does. Because we don't think the way He thinks. What's going on in your life? Think that God thinks higher than you do. Believe that God sees the future more than you do. So we look at things and say, well, I don't understand this situation. God's working in that situation. I can't see the situation. I'm going to use Marty. He's here, but I'm going to use him anyway because it fits into this. Marty was out west. He went out there to be a computer, I don't know, he's a programmer or a computer. He was going to school for a computer something. He was going to college out there. And he went out there and he calls me one day and said, Dad, I want you to pray for me. He said, I've been trying to get a job around here. And he said, I can't get a job flipping burgers. It was something to that effect. And I said, as soon as he said it, I said, now I ain't saying he's overly talented, but I think he can flip a burger. He didn't seem with a disability of any size that somebody that had help wanted couldn't hire him. He wasn't getting the job. And as soon as he told me that, I said, hey, Marty, God's working with you. God's got something that ain't right. God's doing something. Well, it wasn't long after that that Marty called and told me that he got a job working at the water place there in Neosho. And working, I think it was Brother Mike and another brother there. And he got that job. Marty thought he was going out there for computer stuff. And the Lord sent him out there to get Alyssa and get his life occupation started. God seen beyond, Marty had an intention, but now this is what I'm saying. You can't see that. You can't see that. Who can plan the future of anything? You might say, I know that happened a lot of times with people. You don't see what might happen in your life. I'll tell you this, I wouldn't have dreamed I would have never have thought or dreamed that my life occupation was going to turn around and I was going to travel around being an evangelist or being a preacher. I never would have dreamed that the guy that couldn't even give a report in school, I was backwards, I didn't talk in front of people, I couldn't do anything. I would have never have dreamed what the path that the Lord would have put me on would be. But the Lord knows what to do. with that. The things that's going on in your life have an expected end that he talked about it there. I think it was in Ezekiel, isn't it, Brother Mansell? About, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil, but to give you an expected end. I don't know what the end, it's expected in God. It's the righteous end. I'm going to plan this for you. You don't have to be smart enough to think your way through it. Sometimes, I believe this. Other people may be involved, it doesn't matter. Sometimes there's paths of people's lives that the Lord puts on that's a lifetime of misery. And it is their ticket to heaven. That's what God is doing for them. I can't see to the depths of it. There's no numbers that we can calculate it out with, but if we had them, we had calculated out that this is right. This is right. This that's entered into your life. I thought about Brother Jim. Brother Jim got that cancer on his face. You all remember that. Brother Jim got a cancer on his face. And he told me about that cancer. It was concerning, especially to start with. It flared up, if you all remember. You remember the time that it really flared up and his whole eye weep and was red and it looked like it was taking over. And then it backed up and he, I think it was 13 years he ended up having that cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And when he died, you could have covered it with the end of your finger. Do you know what he said of that? He said, there isn't a day go by that I don't get up and look in the mirror and see that right there. He said, that has been a blessing. I have realized my need of God. I look at it and see it over and over and over again. Right there in the forefront, it was something God allowed to be there that it never harmed him. But it was there as a reminder all the time. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to help me with this. Right there it is. He actually died of congestive heart failure at the age of 87, wasn't it, Brother Mike? He lived all those years and all the predictions of what that was going to do and all that was told to him, all that. God said, I don't want to take it away and I don't want it to do anything. We're going to leave it right there. And as a reminder for always. That's an individual example. But the Lord has that for all of us in our lives. Whatever is happening in our lives, let us remember this. My ways is not His ways. I know that because my ways would be a lot easier sometimes. I mean, mine would be, I've got it too good to complain. But you know what I'm saying. We don't like to have any discomfort. My ways is not His ways. And my thoughts are definitely not His thoughts. We endeavor to have the mind of the Lord. Lord, help us to have the mind of the Lord. Teach us from your word the mind of the Lord. But when it comes to the future and of things like that, we don't have the mind of the Lord. Could it be possible that for the salvation of the souls that the Lord would let a nation fail? Can you imagine for the salvation of souls that the Lord would allow catastrophes? Would He? I say would. I say that the Lord, there was a big controversy back during what was called Katrina because there was a prominent minister that had said that New Orleans had got so evil that the Lord finally cleaned it up. He made a comment like that. He was ridiculed and my thought was, who among us knows the mind of the Lord? If you want precedent for something like that, I can give you plenty of Bible precedent that God would do something like that. I don't know whether God did it or not like that, like they said. But I will say this, God didn't do it and it not be right. God did it. It was right. And I'll tell you this, I was out doing a lot of ministering at the time after 9/11, and the hearts of the people was rocked. It was a good time to tell people about the Lord when the nation was looking and the Congress people was on the steps of the Congress praying. It was a good time to reach out. You say, well, why would God allow something like that to happen? Because His mind is above our mind. That's why. His ways are above our ways and He knows what He's doing. That's why God would allow things like that to happen. Would God allow a bad president to be president? No way. Well, yes, He would too. I'll just say this. I don't know the mind of God, but God can work His will, and that's ultimately what we want, is to work within the will of God's mind and not on my own mind. And look and say, this is what the Lord, I don't know altogether, but I do know this. God's way is right. It's always right. And God's working right in our life. And so, Lord, help our mind to be connected with His mind. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.